Hey, I'm Andy.
I'm Andy.
And you're listening to the HMO podcast. Over 10 years ago, I set myself the challenge of building my own property portfolio. And what began as a short-term investment plan soon became a long-term commitment to change the way young people live together. I've now built several successful businesses, I've raised millions of pounds of investment, and I've managed thousands of tenants. Join me and some very special guests to discover the tips, tricks and hacks, the ups and the downs, the best practice, and everything else you need to know to start, scale and systemize your very own HMO portfolio. Now.
This isn't the sort of show that's going to tell you to outsource everything in your HMO business. That's not how I got started. That's not what a lot of guests on our show do. And for a lot of people with smaller portfolios, that's not what they do either. Quite frankly, we have to evolve our businesses. And as they evolve, we can implement systems and we can outsource things. But in the earlier stages, certainly when we've got a few properties, a small portfolio, then as a landlord and as a business owner, we need to do quite a bit of stuff ourselves. Now, even to this day, almost 15 years in, I carry a toolkit around with me and I take it to every single one of the properties every time I go because you never know what you're going to need, what you're going to find. Now, I'll be honest, I'm quite far removed from the general maintenance of my portfolio. My staff and team do that. We've got a lot of great tradesmen that go in and manage all this. But as you know, I still like to get in my properties. I like to inspect. I like to keep an eye on it from a landlord's perspective. What sort of conditions are my properties in? What are my tenants up to? Do I need to plan any updates for improvements? But if I'm going in the property, I'm taking my bloody toolkit with me. And today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my 20 essential items, my essential toolbox for HMO landlords. If you haven't got one, or if you've got a few bits missing, then today's episode is definitely for you. I promise you, this is like an essential for any HMO property investor. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode of the HMO podcast.
Hey guys, it's Andy here. We're going to be getting back to the podcast in just a moment. But before we do, I want to tell you very quickly about the HMO roadmap. Now, if you're serious about replacing your income, or perhaps you've already got a HMO portfolio that you want to scale up, then the HMO roadmap really is your one-stop shop. Inside the roadmap, you'll find a full 60-lesson course delivered by me, teaching you how to find more deals, how to fund more deals and raise private finance, how to refurbish great properties, how to fill them with great tenants that stay for longer, and how to manage your properties and tenants for the future. We've also got guest workshops added every single month. We've got new videos added every single week about all sorts of topics. We've got downloadable resources, cheat sheets and swipe files to help you. We've got case studies from guests and community members who are doing incredible projects that you can learn from. And we've also built an application just for you that allows you to appraise and evaluate your deals, stack them side by side and track the key metrics that are most important to you. To find out more, head to the hmoroadmap.co.uk now and come and join our incredible community of HMO property investors.
Okay, welcome back to the show. So today I'm going to share my HMO landlord essential toolbox, toolkit. There are 20 things that I keep in my toolbox that I take to every single property. Every time I go to one of my HMOs, my toolbox in the back of the Volvo, and you just never know what you're going to need. And almost always, I feel like I need something. Usually it's only something small, but usually you do need something. And I get my sleeves rolled up when we're inspecting, particularly with the student changeovers, when we're finishing projects off and dressing and staging stuff. Again, this is really useful. All these items are really useful to have in your toolbox. So today I'm going to share my list with you. This is a list that has matured over 20 years. It's evolved. Things have been added to it. Things have been removed from it. Things that I thought I needed are no longer needed. I don't need a hammer drill anymore. But there are lots of bits in here that I do need. Now, the good news is most of this is very cheap. Some of it's a little bit more pricey. And if you're planning on building a property portfolio anyway, a HMO portfolio, then ultimately you're almost definitely going to need it. And here's the real winner here. If you go into one of your properties, you see something, it could be almost something as simple as you just want your kitchen cupboards a little bit loose or a door handle or something like that. And you could definitely leave it and you get the maintenance guys in. But that could take them a few days to get there. It could take them a little bit longer. In that time, it could get worse. It could break and then it could cost you a lot more. I can't tell you how many times that this has happened. just a kitchen door that's ended up being pulled off its hinges because my guys couldn't get there for a couple of weeks. It wasn't an urgent problem, it became more urgent. And then actually, in the process, it's damaged the carcass or it's damaged the door itself. And we've had to spend a bit more money than simply, you know, just the screw or the 2 minutes labour of actually putting it back together in the first place when we found that it was loose. So over the years, I've actually learned that this is an important thing to do. I've actually learned that this saves tons of time, including my own time, and certainly can save you a lot of money. So let's get into today's episode. Number one, buy yourself a decent but fairly small-ish toolbox. Don't really know how to describe what size this is. Nothing too big, nothing too small. I'll tell you what, on the day this podcast goes out, I will share a picture of my toolbox. But yeah, it might cost me like 35, 40 quid. And it's one of those soft ones, but you still wouldn't like to get whacked around the head with it. It's still pretty hard, but it's not a solid case. I like the soft ones because they've got lots of pockets and a bit more versatile when you're squeezing them into small spaces like under the stairs or, you know, just in your garage on the shelf, you know, not taking up too much space. Number two then, you need an electric drill and a selection of drill bits. The number of times you need this, rehanging frames, mirrors, etc., door hinges. You don't need a super duper drill. You don't need anything super fancy. Yeah, you don't need the best battery in the world. You're not a tradesman. You're not a joiner. You just need an electric drill with a good selection of drill bits. I'd actually suggest you spend more on the drill bits relative than you do on the drill itself. Number three, a selection of wall plugs and pig's tails. Now, I don't know if this is actually the technical name pig's tails, but pig's tails are like a wall plug that go in the wall. It's like a hybrid screw slash plug. So rather than have to kind of pile up the wall to do a hanging, put a plug in, you just go straight in with the pigtail. And the great thing is you can hang all sorts on these. You can hang heavy frames, heavy mirrors, just really useful for those bits and pieces that you would otherwise have to get your tradesmen in to do. It's pretty easy to use. They're not too messy if you get it right, although I would say that one in four of them goes wrong, certainly for me anyway. You need to just wipe up a bit of brick dust or a bit of plaster dust. But yeah, make sure that you've got a good selection of wall plugs and pigtails in there as well. Number four then, make sure you've got a good selection of screws. I carry a small box of screws around. This goes in my toolbox. All of these things go in my toolbox. And I have a selection of timber and masonry screws of different lengths in there. I don't cheap out on these. I like to buy things that last. I like to buy things that work properly. So yeah, I use decent stuff, but make sure you've got a good selection of screws. Get yourself an electric screwdriver with a selection of bits. Now this is different to your electric drill. Your electric drill's got more power. Your electric screwdriver, what is that good for? Well, let me tell you. Anything to do with flat pack furniture, get yourself an electric screwdriver. Say goodbye to tiny little Allen keys and screwdrivers if you ever erected IKEA furniture. And I know many of you will listening to today's show, you'll know how much it hurts your hands. Now, you get rid of it, get yourself a small electric screwdriver. I've got a Bosch one with some bits. It's absolutely brilliant. Tightening gates up, kitchen door handles, furniture. One of the things I've actually, when we go into our student HMOs, when we do the big changeover, a lot of the furniture, chairs, tables, it's just come loose under the beds. And an electric screwdriver with different bits that you can fit into it just makes light work of this sort of thing. Otherwise, you're there for ages with tiny Allen keys trying to find the right Allen key, blah, 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 blah. Okay, number six, get yourself a decent tape measure. And I mean a fairly decent tape measure. It's worth spending 15, 20 quid on a tape measure. One that can actually measure across a full room and doesn't collapse in the middle. Number seven, get yourself a laser measure. You don't have to spend a lot on this, but these are really good when you're trying to establish quickly room sizes. So particularly when you're out on viewings, if you need a quick measurement, maybe the room looks a little bit small or maybe the room looks really big and you're thinking, can I subdivide this or could I get an ensuite in this room as well? Maybe you're doing something like a license renewal and you need to just remind yourself of the sizes of the bedrooms. Maybe you need to measure up to the ceiling very quickly. Or whatever it is, laser measures are absolutely brilliant. Number eight, get yourself a decent Allen key set with all types of sizes in there. Sometimes there'll be some pieces of furniture or some things that you just can't quite get your electric screwdriver in, so you will need an Allen key set. But inevitably, if you only got one or two Allen keys, you'll need the one that you don't have. So just get yourself a set of Allen keys. Again, they're not that much. A little bit heavy, but not that much. Right, number nine. Get yourself a pin hammer and some pin nails. Great for just quickly whacking into the wall and hanging frames or rehanging some frames. Number 10, get yourself a tiny screwdriver. The screwdrivers that you get sometimes in Christmas crackers. Get a screwdriver that's literally that size. What do you need this for? Thermostats. So we've got some thermostats. They've got a tiny screw in them. And you need something like this if you want to replace the batteries in it. TV remotes, fire alarms sometimes, things like that. Number 11 then. Batteries. Always carry some AA batteries, some AAA batteries, and some of those slightly bigger batteries that you need for fire alarms. You need these, again, for thermostats, for TV remotes, for fire alarms. Really, really useful just to have. Nothing more frustrating than being able to fix something very quickly, other than the fact you've got to go out and buy the battery. Just keep them in your toolbox. Number 12. Similarly, really frustrating if you don't have these on the road, get yourself some light bulbs. So I always carry about 6 bayonet LEDs and in white light. Nothing more annoying than seeing that there's a light bulb there that needs replacing. The tenants haven't reported it very quickly. You could just do it. But if you haven't got it in your toolbox, you take it out, you leave it, it looks even worse. The tenants, it's like you've addressed it, but kind of done half a job. So either you're going to go down to the shop and buy one, or you're going to raise a maintenance job, get your team or a staff member or a maintenance guy in to do it, and it's going to cost you and them more time and more money, which is just pointless. Keep 6 bayonet bulbs in your toolbox. You'll thank me. I think we're on number 13, double-sided tape. Can't tell you how often this comes in handy. Hanging notice boards is one of the things that we often do with this. So yeah, just get yourself some double-sided sticky tape. I promise you, you will find good use of it. Number 14, get yourself a marker pen and a pencil. You never know when you're going to need to do a quick sketch or just mark something up or just label a bag or something like that. So carry a marker pen and a pencil around with you all of the time. Number 15, the 15th item to have in this toolbox is a spirit level, a short spirit level, like a 12-inch spirit level. Really useful just to make sure your frames are straight, that mirrors are straight, that furniture is straight, anything like that. Number 16, you'll like this one. Carry some door wedges around. Just don't leave them in the house because the tenants will obviously use them. Carrying door wedges around is nothing more frustrating than getting to a house one day, doing an inspection, and you're in and out of all these rooms. You're carrying a laptop in one hand, some tools in another hand, and you're trying to open the doors and they're all slamming. Just get in there, prop the doors open, do your inspections and get out. Really cheap and easy to buy. These are fantastic if you're doing days of furniture assembly or furniture delivery, or you're staging a property, or you've got anything on like that. Just make sure that you've got some door wedges. Pliers, number 17, the 17th item, then have a pair of pliers. So actually, I'd suggest you have a short nose plier and a long nose plier as well. Just little things, just occasionally you need these for. We've got a lot of outside meter boxes. Sometimes they're a bit awkward. Sometimes a pair of pliers is actually quite useful to get in and out of that box. But there are lots of other examples I could give you. And for the cost of them, just make sure you're carrying them around all the time as well. Number 18, can't tell you. This is probably the most used item, I think, in my toolbox. It's a Stanley knife. The amount of furniture and packages that we have to open, my God. And there's nothing more annoying than kind of trying to prise open cardboard like that's packaged so tightly it makes your fingers bleed. You know what I mean. Just make sure you're carrying a Stanley knife around with you. Great for kind of releasing mattresses. That's one of those things. Trying to get a mattress out of one of those compressed packages they come in without a decent blade is really, really difficult. So yeah, get yourself a decent Stanley knife. Number 19 then, make sure you always carry a cloth, a bit of a rag, and a worktop spray around with you. Occasionally I dive in and I do some viewings, but just being able to do a quick wipe down with your own stuff before a viewing can be so, so, so useful. Or if you're staging and dressing and just about to take some photos, but there's just something on there and you haven't got anything else in the house because the cleaners were there yesterday, don't worry. You've got your cloth and you've got your kitchen worktop spray. Trust me, trust me, trust me, you'll thank me. And finally, number 20, the last item to make sure you always carry around in this toolbox is some bin liners. And if you want to take it a step further, get some rubble sacks as well. The number of times I've turned up and I've ended up leaving with a bag full of stuff, stuff that tenants have left or something that's broken and I need to take away, or just a bit of recycling that's in the hallway and yeah, it's a bit of a fire hazard. Don't just ignore this stuff. Be a good landlord, take it away, sort it out, Just make sure you've got some bin liners and some rubble sacks with you at all times. So there we go. 20 items. Told you it wouldn't have to cost a lot. 20 items to carry around in your essential HMO landlord toolkit. I promise you. In fact, I want you to go and get whatever it is that you need. And as soon as you need one of these, please tag me in. Say, Andy, yes, you were right. I promise you, this is going to save you loads of time. Do a quick shopping trip down to B&Q or Screwfix, wherever it is. Get this stuff and just make sure that every time you go out to one of your houses, you sling it in the back of the car. I promise you, it'll save you and your team or your tradies loads of time, and it'll definitely save you a load of money in the long run. So very quickly then, let's recap on the 20 items that you need for your essential HMO landlord toolbox. Number one, you need the toolbox itself. Number two, get yourself an electric drill and a selection of drill bits. Number three, a selection of wall plugs and pigtails. Number four, get your selection of screws ready, timber and masonry screws. Number five, get an electric screwdriver and a selection of drill bits for that as well. Number six, get a decent tape measure. Number seven, get a laser measure. Number eight, have an Allen key set. Number nine, a pin hammer and pin nails. Number 10, get a tiny screwdriver. Number 11, make sure you're always carrying batteries around. Number 12, make sure you're always carrying some light bulbs around. Number 13, carry a bit of double-sided tape around. Number 14, make sure you've always got a marker pen and a pencil. Number 15, make sure you've got a decent spirit level, about a 12-inch one. Number 16, door wedges. Number 17, short and long-nose pliers. Number 18, Stanley knife. Number 19, cloth and a worktop spray. And finally, number 20, carry around some bin liners and possibly some rubble sacks as well. So there we go. It was a good job I had those written down. That's it, guys. I hope that was a useful episode for you. I'm sure it will be. Like I said, I'll share a picture of my toolkit today so that you can see the size of it, but also as proof that I do get out there, roll my sleeves up and do this stuff myself. And actually, I quite enjoy it. You know, just quickly fixing something that actually the tenants could otherwise be waiting a couple of weeks for someone else to get round. It just makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm going to be there, then I may as well just spend a couple of minutes doing it. That's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much. Come on over to the HMO community and tell me what you think about today's episode. Have you got any of this stuff already? Is there anything that I've missed? Please come and tell us. Share it in the HMO community. It's our free group on Facebook. Of course, if you're taking things seriously this year, if you want to scale your property business up, then head over to the hmoroadmap.co.uk. Inside there, you'll find everything from your masterclasses from experts, my 60-lesson course on how to do everything to do with funding your deals, finding them, refurbing them, managing tenants, managing properties, dozens of case studies, loads of resources, and much, much more. I know you know what I'm talking about because I tell you every single week. And finally, if you've got 30 seconds to leave a really quick review of the show, please do, guys. You can leave a review on Apple and on Spotify. It helps so much, more than you could possibly know. And I really, 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 really appreciate it. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. And don't forget, I'll be right back here in the very same place next time. So please join me then for another installment of the HMO Podcast.